Good morning, everyone. So the reading today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Now, Pentecost has just occurred and many followers of Jesus have been made. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Jane, whiteboard. Oh, I love it. No, I don't look that good. Props. Thank you. I've even got notes. That's always a good start, isn't it? So last week, we started to look at... I'll just put the brakes on this so it doesn't run away from me. Julia spoke and we started to look at the three main blocks of us at All Saints and what it is in our vision. And you will have never seen one of these before. It's a picture of a tree. These are our three circles, which over many years, well, probably the last five or six or seven or eight, we have used many times. And as part of our vision, last week we looked at that. I once did this when I was learning to be a teacher, and I did this amazing memory verse thing, and in the old days with... Open air campaigners used to be able to do sort of painted blocks and then you filled in the gaps and made these words. I was a trainee teacher and I spelt one of the words wrong and got severely, hassled. So last week we looked at the fact that we're disciples following Jesus. And we looked at the fact that our whole journey is about discipleship. Our whole journey is about having a relationship with Jesus. And that's the most important thing. It's about all of our identity comes from being followers of Jesus. And some of the things Julia mentioned to us, it's out of that deep relationship with God that we bring action into the world. That's the thing that motivates us. That's the thing that gives us our charge, that we are not just thinkers about this, but we are doers. So it has to have a sense of action with it. That it's not about a religion, but it's about a relationship. So it's not a religious thing that we do just for the sake of it, but it's a relationship with the living God, the all-creator. That we have this ability to have this close connection with the living God, and that is what motivates and brings us into all things. That we don't need to be perfect. You know, I think one of the things that I got from last week when Julia was speaking was we don't need to be perfect. It's not about having perfection. It's not about having the performance isn't as important as who we are in God. And that's really important for those of you like me who don't like to disappoint and like to succeed and don't like failure. And like when you're like that, it's really problematic because you want everything just so. And you want things to be exceptional. You want everything to be great. And I've got to be honest. This week, for the first time in a long, long time, I woke up at 1:30 in the morning going, oh, the church is, oh, oh. And I had to kind of get my head around the fact, hang on a minute, it's not my church. Please, no. It's not David's church. It's not even the warden's church. Jesus' church. It's his church. It's about him. And so the performance, although we want to do as well as we can, it's not about the performance. It's about us gathering. It's about us being a people, not just in a church meeting, but actually throughout the week. And we'll move on to that today. So those are the things about us being on a discipleship journey, that we want to be learning, we want to be growing, we want to be doing all those things, and we want that to turn into action, but actually it's about our deep-seated relationship with the Lord God Almighty that allows us the freedom to be who we're meant to be. And so the second we're going to look at today, and that is that we are community forming community. So if our first one was we are disciples, the second one is that we are community. We are the body of Christ. It's why we do one of the things we do with the peace. We are expressing the sense that we are family, expressing the sense that we are together in this. And last week I talked around Uncle Davis and Grandpa Carson. I haven't asked her if I can say this, but, you know, maybe even great-grandma Dot. I just got the look. But we are family. And if we are joined together, we are joined together. You know, what does it say? Let's read together. Romans 8. I will get the glasses out. Can you tell I'm not used to this? My daughters give me such a hard time for the glasses that I choose to wear. But it says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. And it's by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are his children, then we are co-heirs with Christ. Now this, if we really get a hold of this, it's phenomenal. When you think we are co-heirs with Christ, it does talk a little bit about joining with his suffering and then his glory. But if we are truly brothers and sisters of Jesus, like co-heirs talks about inheritance. It's more than just a name thing. Oh yeah, bro. No, we have been adopted into the family of God and are co-heirs with Christ. So we get the inheritance that Jesus gets. It's quite mind-blowing if you take that down the pathway a little bit. So we are joined together. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that we are the body of Christ and that we are joined together and that we've got lots of different gifts and there are lots of different abilities and all the rest of it. But we, you know, if the eye says, I don't want to be the eye anymore, I don't want to be a part of the body anymore, well, you don't see. And the other thing is when you are joined together, you know, it talks about being joined with ligaments and tendons and sinews. When you are joined together, it has an effect. A number of years ago, one of our leaders gave an example of what it's like to be church. And he said, church is either like sliced bread or a loaf. And it's interesting with sliced bread, it's actually quite easy just to take a piece. You can take it right out of the middle. Oh, dangerous. How good was that? How bad was that? But you can take a piece out of the middle and it hardly affects anything else, does it? Like, you can pop it in and out. Doesn't really make that much difference. A little bit of movement with one another. You try to take a bit out of the middle. of a loaf of bread. And what happens? It actually has a massive effect on the people around us. And I think it's a great example of the body of Christ. It's a great example of church. And that if you take a piece and you rip it off, it has incredible impact on those people around us. You know, it says in the Word that when we should join with those who mourn. We should join with those who are in joy. Because as a loaf, we are joined together. And whether we like it or not, we are joined. So that when I'm ill, or when David is ill, or when Anne is ill, it affects the whole body. And I think it's profound that we need to see ourselves as a loaf of bread. We need to see ourselves as so joined that, and you know, you can't see it, but when you tear it, it actually stretches the bread. And I think it's a very profound and great illustration to show us, I just want to eat it now, show us what it is to be the body of Christ. I'm going to leave the bread up here. And if you wish, at the end of the service, please come and rip a piece off, and you're allowed to eat it. Even the sliced bread, if you want. So we are together. We are joined together. We are community. That's one of our whole ideas, that we want to be joined. I know it sounds strange that we would want to be joined with this motley crew, but we are. We are joined together. It's profound because everything in the world would say you need to look after your own little world. You need to be in charge of yourself. And there's elements of that that's true. You need to take responsibility. I'm not saying that we don't need to do that. But there's something incredible about being joined with family. Many of you have heard my story, and I, if you haven't, then I'm sorry, it's going to be very abrupt. But when I was 13, I lost my two brothers in a car accident. When I was 20, I lost my sister. So I don't have any family left in that sense of brothers and sisters. So church has always been my family. I've needed it. There's been times in my life that I've absolutely desperately needed it. And there are people in my world who I would consider to be my brothers, even though they're not. And some of them don't come here, but we are joined. And we're joined mostly around God than anything else. But there's a connection that we have. And it's an important one. You know, all through Scripture, it talks about the one another's. Depending on which list you follow, there's about 59 times it says one another in the Bible. First and foremost, it says love one another. It says be devoted to one another, honor one another, confess your sin to one another. It's why we do confession together. Confess your sin to one another. Bear with one another. Put up with each other. Be humble with one another. That's what it means to be community. Philippians 2 talks around that in our relationships we should have the same mindset of Jesus, who in the very nature God, he humbled himself to a servant. Being made in the image of man and being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself to death. Even death on a cross. And so often we just let it, you know, kind of flow, and as long as I'm okay, it's all good. But actually, no, we have a responsibility for one another in the right sense. Doesn't mean we need to meddle in everyone's world all the time, but we are connected. And our attitude should be that of Jesus. It says earlier in the second chapter of Philippians that he says, trying to bring it to mind. It talks about that we should choose to value others more highly than ourselves. See, that's what it is to be community. It's not about constantly trying to beat your own barrow and get to the top of the tree. It's about going, actually, I choose to be a part of something that's bigger than myself, and I choose to consider and value others more highly than myself. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to be the best that you can be. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be the best at the business that you've got, that you should climb the tree as much as you can. But the manner in which you do that, it's the attitude that makes the difference of how we be community. And that's how it changes and how we form community. Because we're called to be community, and therefore we are the ones who can speak and bring community into life in the different spaces of our worlds. So it means we don't always have to have my opinion as the only opinion. You all have to think the same as me. I used to have a boss who will remain nameless in case he's in the room. And he used to say, everybody is entitled to my opinion. And we said, yes, boss. But you see, it's not about that, is it? It's not about us pushing our own barrow. It's not about us trying to be higher and greater than anyone else. It's about us being together in humility. And if we truly follow Jesus, there's an element of sacrifice in that. Because actually, there's sometimes we can't do the things we want to do because it affects other people. That's a choice we make. It's not always an easy one. So what does it mean to be community? So some of the things that I've just crossed my mind as I was thinking about it is that we need to know that our identity is in Christ, because that's the only way you can do this. If our identity isn't in Jesus, then our ability to be community well is sadly lacking. One of the other things that I think is really challenging for us in this particular time in New Zealand's history is that we need to be careful that we don't end up living in a world of polarization. So that you might have an opinion, like Dan's, and it might be a different opinion to someone like Andrew's, and it doesn't mean that you break relationship. But you see, you look at American politics, you look at our politics and the way we're going now, and it constantly wants to push you to one side or the other, and it's almost like one extreme or the other. But being community says that I have to live with and get on with Dan, even though I think differently to him. And that's challenging, because I think I'm always right. Unfortunately, so does he. But isn't it true? So often we are pushed to believe one thing or the other. And I mention politics because it's kind of apt coming up to an election. But we are so quick to go, everything is this. And it puts you in a box, and it means that the people who think differently from you aren't real people. They are wrong. How often do we find this in church life as well? Oh, the Anglicans, they're all full of liturgy. They don't really follow Jesus. Oh, those Pentecostals, all they want to do is put their hands in the air and sing hallelujahs. And so often we polarize instead of going, actually, we are the body of Christ. And the different flavors, if the hard attitude is following Jesus, then what does that mean? It doesn't really matter, as long as the hard attitude is to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be community. So let's look at some of the things for us as a body, as a parish, of some of the strategies that we are looking at, how we be community. So one of the things we want to do is we want to be, when people are gathered in any way, shape or form, that we are hospitable, that we are welcoming, that we show care and interest and listen to people's stories. And sometimes we do that really, really well. And other times we're not so good at it. But it's something we want to aim to do better, that we are a welcoming people, that we show hospitality. Part of being community and the things we want to look at this year is our relationships with one another are actually strong. Our relationships in marriage, you know, it's interesting that as I was preparing this and thinking about this, someone came up to me this week and said, we're kind of wondering whether it'd be really good to do some stuff around marriage. So that's one of the things we want to maybe explore, what that looks like. Around family, how to bring up kids. One of the things that we want to do is we want to invite people into our households. And you look at Davis and Renee, and they have people who live in their home, because it's such a great example of sharing life together. You really get to deal with the issues of life, eh, Winnie, when you live with people. And that's why some of us, you know, as part of our internship, that's part of our goal, is that we want to have those interns living with us so that we get to pass on that sense of community. That's why our internship is a really important part of who we are. So the other ways of being community, and these look, they kind of meld in together. That's why there's bits that are mixed up and crossing over. So we want to encourage people to be part of prayer triplets, because this is how it is to be together in reality, is to pray with one another. You know, you really get to know someone when you pray with them. And to put aside a time once a week, once a fortnight, whatever it might look like, to pray for someone for half an hour, we would encourage everybody to be a part of a prayer triplet. To pray with somebody else, to express some of your own concerns, some of your life issues, and share it with someone and pray for one another. Pray for the church, pray for the nation, pray for whatever the Holy Spirit comes and brings to mind at the time. It's a very powerful thing to join together to pray. And we say triplets, but actually, I don't care whether it's 2, 3, 4, or 5. It gets more than 4 and it becomes tricky to get everyone in the room at the same time. But we want to encourage people to be a part of praying together. We want to encourage people to be part of a small group. Because as part of that small group, it's part of your care. It's part of your learning. It's part of your discipleship. But it's also part of your outward-looking life. It's part of sharing life together. And I understand that sometimes stages in life, meeting once a week, once a fortnight in a small group is problematic. I understand that, and sometimes there are seasons for these things. But we want to encourage people to be connected. See, it's not the small group that's the most important thing. It's about being connected. It's about being joined together. And so we want to be a body that shows that. So that's another one of our things that we really want to work on. And in that small group, it's like, so often it becomes such a religious thing and we end up becoming so tied into one model fits all. But actually, we want to have freedom of what that looks like for us. And one of the things that we are encouraging in all our small groups is that we have a sense of discipleship. There's a sense of learning together. There's a sense of being together. You know, like in Acts 2, they ate together. It's about eating together, having fun together, playing sport together. For some of us who won't break when we play sport. But it's also about being outward looking, and that's next week's as we look at we're being on a mission together. So we want those flavors in each of our small groups. And whatever that looks like, we don't want to define you have to do this and you have to do that. We want to say this is what we want it to look like. We want you to be family well together and be well balanced. And so that's what we're looking at. And obviously as being part of community, joining together in our different worship congregations. It's an important part of our life. It's not the most important. It's not the only thing we do as church, because church is the body. Church is the people. But it's an important part that as we come together and we go and we have services of worship together, it's an important part of who we are. So we are disciples following Jesus. All of our identity comes from him. We are community forming community. So we are community, that's who we are, but we are also actively working at being community by those things. And next week we'll look at what that might look like as we go on mission together as All Saints Palmerston North and what that looks like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you have called us to be family together. Thank you that we cannot live well without being together. Lord, I want to thank you for this church family, for all the other congregations that are part of that. I want to thank you. Thank you for the love that has been shown to Elaine and I and our family. Thank you for the care that that this family have shown over many years. Lord, I ask that you would help us be community well in every space that we find ourselves in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.